children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about her presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you take that entitlement as basic and reason backwards from that, what you'll end up with is the whole traditional Christian sexual morality. Get married, stay married, and only have sex with the person you're married to.
You can meet and hear Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse making the case against the sexual revolution at the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. Child care is free. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston. The hymn, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say," sung by the University a cappella choir, Concordia University, Nebraska, echoing the words of Christ himself in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, July the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, and headed toward that gospel reading, Jesus Promises Us Rest. What does that mean? And after our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning feature with Dr. Carl Fikencher, we'll talk with Mary Eberstadt about religious freedom and secular orthodoxy. Dr. Carl Fikencher is a professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much, Todd.
So jumping ahead to the gospel reading for just a second. This Sunday, Jesus is going to offer us rest. That's something we all need, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. Sometimes I think it's just me, but then I realize, you know, thinking back to my congregations for all those years, and certainly for students now as I teach at the seminary, everybody seems to be tired. And that, of course, is of different kinds. We know what it means to be just running ragged with life, with all the ordinary things of life. And of course, that's a thing that comes with our fallen world, where things don't all fall into place as perfectly and smoothly as they would have in the Garden of Eden. But of course, being physically tired has actually very serious spiritual dimensions, and it also is a metaphor for what's going on in the bigger spiritual picture as well. I really don't think it's just me during the summer like this, when you'd think you'd be relaxing and you're running ragged instead, and you see people around going the same sort of pace. I think this is really something quite universal. And so in our gospel reading, when Jesus addresses this, this is magnificent. You've already picked up the key verses really from our gospel lesson, Todd. The verse, the Alleluia verse this week, comes from the gospel reading, Matthew 11. It's verse 28. Alleluia. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And to that, we'd all say, Alleluia. Today, as we go through the propers, let's ask ourselves, what are some of the things that really make us weary, that really make us feel burdened? Things from which Jesus offers deliverance in our gospel reading. And it's not going to be superficial at all. I think it's going to be really very real every day and very, very deep, in fact.
So you already talked about the verse. That's a simple theme that is laid out here. The introit for this coming Sunday, that entrance psalm, takes us into the shelter of the Almighty.
It does. And that's very appropriate to what we're looking at here. When we're looking at what kinds of things make us feel weary or burdened, the psalm, which forms the basis for our intro at Psalm 91, is very, very helpful in this regard. Just last week, you know, this was the appointed psalm. Now, selected verses from Psalm 91 are the basis for our intro. And think as we hear this about how very much we appreciate what the Lord is promising when it comes to relief from things that make us feel burdened. In our intro at Psalm 91, selected verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. And then the Gloria Patri. Last week, when this was the appointed psalm, we looked at it more in terms of the danger that was facing us. And we talked last week from the gospel reading about how the disciples were going to be facing danger and threats and opposition. But there's a different dimension here that comes out in these verses, especially when paired with this week's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Here, we're picturing not so much a military threat, like the protection from the fort that the fortress affords, but here, we're really talking about someone who is out under that hot, beating sun. And certainly in the ancient Near East, the psalmist was very much aware of this, the idea that the summer sun was as oppressive as some enemies. The danger of being out for too long without water, without shade. Everyone knew this as a real threat to life, actually. But also, when life itself is not threatened, it still also is something that makes us feel tired, burdened, weary, trudging outside, working under the sun, by the sweat of our brow, earning our living, raising our crops. So the psalmist says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is like a shade over us. When the sun is the primary oppressor, when the sun is what wears us out, which sucks us bone dry and makes us feel as if we can't go one more step, then we rejoice that the Lord shelters us from that, that he really provides the kind of shade that is so welcome when we're feeling weary, fatigued, working outside, especially in those days in the desert. Even today, we're familiar with that quite really in many situations, whether it is working in agriculture or working in construction, which I did for a good while, or other things like that. We know how very tired we can be under the sun. And so this is one of the great pictures that the psalmist gives of how the Lord's rest, his relief from that burden, is so very, very welcome.
The collect for the day is focusing on living in a world that's ever-changing and that ultimately ends with our life's end.
Yeah, it does. The collect, you know, has a very nice way of taking what often is poetic in the intro and making it pretty explicit, and this certainly does that. Our collect for this coming Sunday, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world. And at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We're asking the question, what things make us weary? What things make us feel burdened? Yeah, the hot, oppressive sun can do that. But here in the collect, wearisome changes. And we really understand how very wearisome, tiring, burdensome changes can be. We all have certain routines in life that become comfortable. It's the routine of being with a spouse who we know, we love, with whom we're very, very comfortable all the time. The kind of routine that goes in a family when the kids are growing up and we know one another, we know what to expect, we know how to help and support each other. A job that we like to be challenging, we like to be fresh, we don't want to be mundane, but we also like to go to the office every day or go to the job site every day having some idea of what's going to be going on. If everything is new all the time, that's tough. One of the things people observe so often nowadays is the speed with which technology is changing. While it gives us magnificent advantages like being able to do a program like this, it certainly also keeps us a little bit uneasy. A new technology, a new way to do something that we used to do in a simpler way before. Is it better now? Oh, I guess so. But it's sure something we have to retool and think about again. And this can be very, very wearisome, can cause us to be very fatigued. Now remember, these particular very day-to-day sorts of examples, whether it's the oppressive sun or changes in technology or changes at the job or whatever, are in themselves very real. And in fact, while great benefits can be seen in each of these things, the disadvantages of change or the oppressive sun are actually the result of sin, the fall into sin. Adam and Eve would have had things that were exciting and challenging every day. The sun would have shined on them every day for sure, but the sun would never have been oppressive. And new things, new challenges, new opportunities they would have had day to day to day in the Garden of Eden would never have been frustrating, would never have thrown them off, would never have caused them to be discouraged, to feel weary or burdened. Now in a fallen world, those things do happen. But again, as we said from the outset, these are also very helpful metaphors or illustrations of a bigger kind of burden that we bear. The original sin that caused all of these things that could otherwise be helpful to be frustrating also is always oppressive on us. It's always a burden that we're carrying. Ultimately, that's what Jesus is going to be talking about in our gospel reading, and we'll see more examples of that as we go. But here in the collect, after we recognize that there are these wearisome changes of all sorts in our lives, ultimately the change at life's end is one we also all must face. And that's a burden that we could never bear on our own. So we pray that God would grant us your promised rest. We're asking for it. We're asking God to grant it. But we know that he will give us that wonderful rest because it's promised rest. Promised, most explicitly, frankly, in our gospel lesson coming up just a few minutes from now when Jesus speaks to us in Matthew chapter 11.
Take us into the Old Testament reading. This is from Zechariah. We've kind of switched prophets here recently, from Jeremiah to Zechariah, and a very famous section of Zechariah chapter 9, but we're talking here about Israel's enemies.
Yeah, this is you're exactly right. This is a very well-known passage, Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12. I'll read it, and then listeners can say, hey, I know where that shows up in the church year, a couple of times, as a matter of fact. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of the covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. Familiar, isn't it? An astute listener might say, hey, that sounds an awful lot like Palm Sunday. You betcha, your king is coming to you. Humble, mounted on donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. Absolutely. But an astute listener also might say, yeah, but I think that shows up also in Advent. And indeed it does, not only on the first Sunday of Advent when the Palm Sunday event is commemorated, but also in the gradual throughout the season of Advent when we draw from Zechariah chapter 9. So very familiar material, and of course it has a lot of different implications. As you said, Todd, it really is speaking about Israel being delivered from their enemies, and that in itself is already a tremendous burden or a yoke that makes us feel tired, heavy laden. For God's people in the Old Testament to be oppressed by foreign conquerors like the Babylonians certainly was a burden that they were living with. They had been promised by God to have a land of their own, to be God's special people, the bearers of the promise of the Messiah, and yet they were being oppressed by foreign conquerors like the Babylonians. Nowadays, we find other kinds of conquests and conquerors that seem to oppress us as well. In our world today, we face terrible opposition from society, from our world, and I'm talking about oppression, opposition being directed toward the church. We talk about this again and again, Todd, because in my mind, it's so very, very relevant, whether it be on issues like abortion or same-sex marriage or transgender issues and so on. We as Christians are always being cast as being on the outside, as being out of the stream of things. These are oppositions that we live with very much the way Old Testament Judah lived with their conquest under the Babylonians and by Jesus' day under the Romans as well. Here in the Old Testament lesson, there's a promise to be delivered from that. He shall speak peace, a promise that there will be no longer that military oppression. And then one other image in the Old Testament lesson I think is also helpful when we're talking about what makes us feel tired, what makes us feel burdened, what makes us feel as if our yoke is just too much for us. Verse 11, as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. The waterless pit. This would be a pit in the ground that perhaps was dug to be a cistern, a place where water would come up when the water table was high. But when the water table was low, it would be dry. Nevertheless, it would be a place where someone could be imprisoned, the way Joseph was cast into a waterless pit by his brothers, and they meant to leave him there to die until the slave traders came along and they sold him into slavery in Egypt. The waterless pit is the place where we could picture ourselves way down, and with the only way out, trying to climb out ourselves, to pull ourselves up, literally by our own bootstraps. There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing that lifting us if we're down in that waterless pit. But we somehow still, we want to get out. We try to climb out. And oh, my goodness, what a burden, what fatigue, what wearisome burden that is for us. Again, however, Zechariah promises that because of the blood of the covenant, and we know where that's going to take us when we get to Christ Jesus in the New Testament, we will be set free from that waterless pit. So we talk about an oppressive sun beating down on us. We talk about foreign enemies or opposition to the church in this world. We talk about being in a pit. We talk about changes, all kinds of things that can make us feel very, very weary. And I think we all understand how that feels.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest on this Monday, July the 3rd. We are looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. That's the Old Testament reading. The Psalm is next, and then the epistle moving toward the gospel reading in Matthew 11. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Stay tuned.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and childcare, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Stanza two of the hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. We're looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Before the break, it was the Old Testament reading from Zechariah. Then comes the psalm, Psalm 145. What do we find there?
Psalm 145 is a psalm of David, and it's toward the end of the Psalter. And if someone remembers, those last number of psalms up to 150 are always magnificent psalms of praise, psalms with a great celebration going on for what God has done. And as always is the case, the celebration, the praise, is because of what he has done for us, including here in this psalm, giving us rest from some of the things that may make us tired or weary. Psalm 145, I'll read just selected verses, beginning of verse 1. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wondrous works, I will meditate. And we skip down then to verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down. So much of this, of course, is that magnificent celebration, extolling my God and King, blessing him every day, for great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. It's a magnificent occasion for celebration. But even when we celebrate what God has done for us, it isn't without a real awareness that the cause of celebration is primarily his deliverance from things. Praise, and in fact, the gospel as a whole, is never a matter just of saying everything's great, everything's great, everything's great. On the contrary, everything is magnificently great because God has delivered us from everything that's such a total mess, as a result of our sin. It's always a matter of being delivered from something. And certainly what we see in our gospel lesson today is an example of this. The burdens that we carry in a fallen world that make us often feel really physically, emotionally, and certainly spiritually tired. So I love verse 5 when the psalmist says, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate." The psalmist David here, and frequently throughout the Psalms, we see examples of this, the deep, deep appreciation for what it means to be in God's Word. When things around us are changing rapidly so we feel tired, when the sun is literally or figuratively beating down on us, when there's opposition to us, when we feel like we're down in a waterless pit and just can't pull ourselves out, the place for relief is always in God's Word, to meditate on what He says to us about what He has done for us. When we go through life, and this is, I think, part of the problem that that Jesus is going to be responding to in the gospel reading, when we go through life, always caught up in the next thing on our schedule, having to get to the next place, having to write the next report, having to fulfill the next responsibility, having to put out the next fire, one after another, after another, after another, we feel so caught up in things that we really come to feel as if it's all up to us. We just don't take time. Sometimes we think we don't have time to stop and reflect on where God is in this whole big, busy picture. The fact of the matter is that God has all of these things in His loving power, in His loving control, and He really has delivered us from all the effects of the fallen world, including the effects that mean if we don't get something done, we'll be counted a failure. If we don't get to this, if we don't get to that, we'll be farther and farther and farther behind. The sorts of runnings here and there that make us feel so tired. We now stand at this point, in fact, at every point in our lives, reconciled to God by what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross, taking away the sin that separated us from God, means that we are at peace with God, that wonderful peace that Zechariah spoke of in chapter 9 a second ago. And when we are at peace with God, when we are reconciled with God, when we are in harmony with the Almighty, all-loving God, then really and truly every burden has already been lifted for us. Even though we have hassles and hurries and things going on around us all the time make us feel so very, very tired, the fact of the matter is God is caring for us at all times, every moment, in a perfect way. To stop and meditate on that word of God, that assurance that in Christ Jesus we are at peace with God and He is caring for all things, is the ultimate relief from being burdened, weary, tired, harried, hassled, hurried. And this is, of course, what the Psalms often suggest to us, as here in Psalm 145. I just love that verse, "On your wondrous works I will meditate." Stop, leave the world behind for a minute, and see the real world, reality as it is, that is, living in this reconciliation with God. And so then verse 14 again, "The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down." When the burden is so heavy, the responsibilities we're feeling in life are so much that we just feel like we can't stand up straight. We're bent over. Our backs are breaking under the burden upon us. God comes and He lifts us up. He upholds us. He takes that burden off our shoulders. And again, that can be the burden of fear of failure in day-to-day activities, the thought that if I don't get this or that done, I'll be thought of badly by my peers, I'll lose my job, or whatever it might be, when in fact God is always caring for us in the very, very best way. And of course, ultimately, it's going to be removing from us the burden of trying to reconcile ourselves to God, to take care of the separation of our sin on our own, which we could never do, but which Christ has done for us.
The epistle reading is Romans 7. This is, I would hesitate to say this, but it's classic Lutheran territory, although all of Scripture is really Lutheran territory, but this is strongly associated with some very significant Lutheran theology.
Indeed. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25a is really the primary passage for the simul justus et peccator concept, the idea that at the same time, simultaneously, we are saint and sinner. Paul describes this in magnificent terms, and definitely as we hear Paul writing to us here, we can almost hear him speaking, frankly. As we almost hear him speaking to us, we can picture the kind of frustration that he is experiencing, the kind of burden that he is living with, and then ultimately how great it is to hear the relief that he recognizes. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through the first part of verse 25. St. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We hear, of course, here the conflict that's going on in St. Paul, and it is absolutely that conflict between the old Adam and the new man. The old Adam, the sinful nature that continues to be in every single one of us until the day that we die and are delivered from this into heaven, every single one of us still has that sinful nature that came at the moment of our conception. The old Adam, the old Eve, I sometimes say, is always making war against God, hates God. At this time, sinner. But simultaneously, at the very same time, there's also the new man or the new woman inside each believer in Christ Jesus. And that new man or that new woman inside us wants to do the things that God wishes. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Absolutely. The new man or woman loves to do what God wants us to do because we realize the law of God, the commandments God gives, are not burdensome at all. They're absolutely the most wonderful and joyous way to live. It's, on the other hand, the sinful nature inside us that wants to do everything contrary to God's way that makes us think that there's this terrible burden in being obedient to God. Now, what Paul is describing here is this conflict that's going on constantly. It will never cease until we die and are delivered from it in heaven. As long as we're on earth, this conflict will always be going on. And my goodness, does this ever become a burden to us? You can almost hear Paul tossing and turning back and forth, so frustrated with what he sees still going on in himself. I remember years ago, Todd, when I was in my first congregation, I preached a sermon on this text. The title of it was Tossing and Turning. And the sermon was not my usual style by any means. In the sermon, I described as if I were lying awake at night, tossing and turning in bed, just not able to go to sleep because this guilt that I was feeling, this frustration that just simply wouldn't go away, kept welling up inside me. I've perhaps mentioned this before, but it was a sermon that actually caused one of my dear elderly members to be kind of alarmed. She thought poor pastor was kind of coming unglued there, that he was suffering this great angst. Well, it wasn't really something I was feeling deeply emotionally, but it certainly was something going on spiritually inside me, inside St. Paul, inside every single one of us. Because the new man or new woman inside us is always frustrated that we just can't set aside this sin. We want to do what God wants us to do. We delight to obey God's law, but that other old sinful nature inside us continues to make war. I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. This is a terribly frustrating thing that Christians experience. And the fact of the matter is, one of the greatest joys of eternal life in heaven will be to be delivered from our old sinful self. So this terrible conflict, this frustrating conflict, ceases. What a terrible burden it is for every one of us who is a new man or woman in Christ, who wants to do what God wishes us to do, to see how we fail again and again and again. We struggle, and we keep losing again and again and again. It's so tiring, literally. What a burden that we're bearing. This, of course, is where we need to be delivered from that wearisome experience that we have all the time, this burden that is too much, this yoke that is just too difficult for us. Paul comes to the end of his Old Testament, his epistle lesson for us, with those words, "Wretched man that I am," so frustrated, such a burden, so frustrating, so tiring. "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And it almost sounds like a rhetorical question, as in, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Well, of course, nobody's going to. But in fact, it's not a rhetorical question at all, because he answers, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God does deliver us from this body of death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ultimately, at the moment of death, when the believer, the soul of the believer, is in heaven looking forward to the resurrection of the body, this conflict, this frustration will cease. But already in the meantime, Jesus in our gospel lesson is going to say again and again, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll take this burden off of you. This guilt that you're feeling stands forgiven." Reality, our sin is a reality. It'll continue to be a reality. It'll continue to be frustrating to us. But it is continually forgiven for the sake of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who does deliver us from this body of death and from all of this burden and this weary frustration that is ours in the meantime.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. On this Monday, July the 3rd, we are looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. And when we come back, we're going to be looking at the gospel reading. That's our destination, and of course, a theme, which we find also in the Propers. Stay tuned.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in a line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the baseball game on Facebook. Download the digital version of The Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for special offer, $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS ministry to the armed forces lcms.org/armedforces.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Final stanza of the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Fekencher, take us to the gospel reading of Matthew 11.
Matthew chapter 11 gives us, of course, the theme that we've been looking at all along in terms of things that make us feel burned, wearisome. We'll give a theme for all the propers together in a few moments. We understand, though, from what Jesus is getting at, that we've got a very real problem here, things that make us feel burdened, whether it is something like figuratively the oppressive sun in the introit, which really reminds us of the burden of labor, how hard work can be sometimes. We talked about changes that can be wearisome, whether it's new technology or life changes where a family grows up and moves out or divorces, all those sorts of things. The burden of opposition of society and the world against the church, the way Judah faced opposition of foreign nations. We've talked about that waterless pit, trying to get ourselves up by our own bootstraps when we feel just unable to move forward in life. And we've said that there's this wonderful relief from that in meditation on God's Word. Now, certainly the last three verses to be specific of our gospel reading, are going to focus on this. But listen first to verses 25 to 27, the first three verses of the gospel reading, and consider how these verses fit in with what we've been saying all along. This is an interesting challenge right in the gospel lesson itself. Matthew chapter 11, I'll read the whole thing, verses 25 through 30, and listen to the two parts. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 and following. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now those last three verses, "come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." You know, we certainly see how that's been consistent with all the things we've been talking about all the way through. But look back at the first three verses, 25 to 27, where Jesus says, "I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, anyone to whom the Son reveals him. What have those got to do with the last three verses? It's possible, of course, that Jesus is speaking and suddenly shifts gears between verses 27 and 28, but there's really no indication of that. So we ask ourselves, how are these in fact connected? And I think they're connected in a very significant way, that along with all these other sources of burden, of weariness, this one may be the biggest of all, frankly. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. The preceding verses talk about how Jesus revealed himself so beautifully by miracles worked in familiar cities like Bethsaida, Chorazin, cities of Galilee that were close to home, places where they should have known Jesus and recognized him right away. They didn't, in fact. And Jesus says there's going to be a terrible condemnation on them because they did not recognize when the Savior came from among their own ranks, from Galilee, to be their Savior as well. You've hidden these things, Jesus revealing himself by his preaching, teaching, his miracles, from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. The wise and understanding not getting it, little children having the truth of the gospel revealed to them, that is to know the Son and through him to know the Father, what's that got to do with those who labor and are heavy laden and are in need of rest? Well, of all the sources of burden that we've been talking about, up to and including especially what St. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the burden of our own sin, the frustration of our own guilt that we just can't get away from, I think perhaps the greatest burden of all is thinking that we somehow have to figure out our way to God, our relationship with God, that somehow we have to grasp God on our own. No small challenge. In fact, throughout this season, we've been looking at that gradual that reminds us of how tough this is. The gradual from Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The fact of the matter is God's wisdom, God's judgments are unsearchable. They are inscrutable. That means we just can't figure this out. But someone who considers himself, as Jesus says in verse 25 of our gospel reading, wise and understanding, is someone who says, bring it on. I'll figure all this out for myself. I understand how things are. I understand the universe. I understand God. And that's not limited to just a scientific explanation of creation or a scientific explanation of how the cosmos works. This really is talking about an understanding of all things as they ultimately are. That is, finally, our relationship with the big picture, which we, of course, know as God, our relationship to God. Many people, of course, are trying to figure out their relationship to the big picture without God, wondering how we fit into a cosmos that doesn't seem to have any real place for an insignificant little person like us. What a burden that is. But even those who recognize God as the one in charge of all things, what a burden to think that I have to figure out my way to him, that I somehow have to figure out how I can have a gracious God, how I can be in a relationship with God. This is exactly what the wise and understanding, those who think they are wise and understanding, that is, take upon themselves. Leave it to me. I'll make all of these things work. Bethsaida, Chorazin, those cities of Galilee that rejected Jesus, they didn't think they needed a guy from their own ranks, a carpenter's son, to explain things to them. They were wiser than he. He was insignificant. He couldn't be the answer. And so they rejected him. When people depend on science to understand how all things work, of course, that's saying, I'm wise, understanding, I can handle this myself. But even the person who is very pious knows there is a God out there, a God who has created all things. If they believe that somehow they have to establish their own relationship with God, that is counting themselves wise and understanding, and it is a blind, dead end. No one will ever make himself acceptable to God by his own works, by his own cleverness, by his own understanding. And therefore, those who depend on their own wisdom, their own understanding, will always be in the dark about God, will never really understand God. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, those who thought they needed no help, and revealed them to little children, those who, whether they are young or whether they're old, realize their total dependence on God, realize that he has to reveal himself to us. He has to establish our relationship. We can't do it ourselves. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will, the will by which his grace establishes our relationship. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We will only know God when Christ reveals himself to us, not by our own wisdom or our own understanding. To think we must figure it out ourselves is as heavy a burden as there could ever be. So now Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You don't need to figure out your relationship with God on your own. You don't have to handle all the changes of this world on your own. You don't have to carry the responsibility for working under that hot burning sun on your own. Even the frustration of living in your own sin, as St. Paul recognizes in our epistle lesson, even this has been relieved by Jesus taking our guilt to the cross. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because he has already carried it for us. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, because he's carrying it as we simply ride along with him. What a magnificent assurance that Jesus gives us from all of those things that make us weary, that make us tired, that make us feel burdened. Which, Todd, then gives me my theme for all of these propers, and it's really very straightforward based on even the verse that we began with today. My theme for these propers: Christ Jesus gives us rest by carrying the burdens that make us so weary. He carries them all the way to the cross, and as a result, gives us rest. So whatever the burdens we're experiencing, whether it's frustration with our own souls, the changes of this world that are so frustrating, the responsibilities at work or problems with family, he has reconciled us to God by his death on the cross. He took those burdens to the cross so that ultimately God really is caring for us, come what may, and whatever seems to be burdening us now, he carries it. He has reconciled us to God, and we are relieved.
Dr. Vacantia, before we let you go, we've got just about a minute here, and I'd like your thoughts on the lovely hymn that we have heard coming in and into our conversation. I heard the voice of Jesus say. It's kind of a new one.
It is new to me. I was delighted to see this in our hymnal. The tune, in fact, is very new, just a copyright 1996. But it has a very classic kind of message, and it certainly is a beautiful paraphrase of the gospel reading we just heard. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come to me and rest. Lay down, weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I found in him a resting place." And that's what Jesus always is to us. There are so many ways to picture the gospel. It is the answer. It is the relief from every kind of burden, from every problem that comes with the fall into sin of this world. But certainly that feeling of a resting place for all the burdens, all the fatigues, all the weariness that we experience, I think is one of the richest experiences or one of the richest ways of seeing the gospel of all.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more about studying for the vocation of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, as always.
In the next hour of Issues, Etc., we hear more and more about Christians, or just people with simple convictions, moral convictions, suffering at work and politically and socially for the sake of those convictions. We're going to talk about religious freedom and secular orthodoxy with Mary Eberstadt right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education invites you to attend our Reformation Summer Conference, July 11 through 13, 2017, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, focused on truth and education. Speakers include the Reverend Rolf Preuss, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Dr. Thomas Korchak. Enjoy this year's unique banquet experience at a Wyoming bison ranch. Visit ccle.org for more speakers and information. That's ccle.org.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.